So knowing God, who is God? What is God? What role does God play here on earth? What is God like? Over the next couple of months, we're going to be looking at some of these questions and more. You know, if you are to serve God, you need to know who he is, right? You need to believe that he is worthy of your devotion. I can understand that some don't find the idea of worshiping God very appealing. I think when you don't know who God is, that's perfectly understandable. So the aim over the next couple of months is to really look at what the Bible says about who God is. Right? This should help us understand who he is, who we are in relation to God. You know, how do we fit into the picture? What is our purpose? And then finally, how can we really get to know who this God is, and how can we know him on an intimate, personal level? All right, and then we can start to understand what it means to worship God and why we might want to do that. So some of the topics that we're going to cover over the next couple of months include God the Creator, so that's tonight. We're going to be looking at God with us. What does that mean? God is holy. Okay, we hear that holy word and perhaps we hear it a lot and don't really think too much about it. What does that mean? God provides. God makes us right. God is faithful, which we looked a little bit at this morning. God is good. God is love. And God is unchangeable. Now, at the end of each of the talks, we're going to have a brief question time. So 5 minutes that you can ask any questions that you like. So if you have any questions during the talk, write them down and we can have a go at answering them at the end. And if I can't answer them, Ken will. There's any number of Kens that might answer your question. All right, so the first one I mentioned tonight that we're going to look at is God the Creator. Okay, so this is where the Bible starts. It starts in describing God, and this is perhaps his biggest feat. This is the thing that he's most well known for. The Bible talks about God creating the world. So we're going to read the creation story tonight, and then we're going to talk about how that helps us to know God. So we're going to start right back in Genesis 1, right in the beginning of the Bible, and we're going to read the first chapter and read about God creating the heavens and the earth. So read with me here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heaven, under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmaments of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth from the across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth, and all the host of them, were finished. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Wow! If you've read some of the Bible before, no doubt you've read this passage, but it typically gets skipped over. We always like to read the bit about man being created, right? We're far more interested in reading about us than we are reading about God. That first verse is amazing. Stop and think about this for a second. God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that you see around you. When we look outside, and it's a pity we can't see with the roof over our head at the moment, but when we look outside, we see a huge amount of stars, you know, out there. Just to think that God put those out there is amazing. David said in the book of Psalms, he says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. I must have skipped that one. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. How amazing is this? The heavens declare the glory of God. They display how amazing God is, and in particular, his craftsmanship or his ability to create things. Their message, or the story that they were put there to tell, is how amazing God is. You know, it says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. The stars, they're just chilling out there proclaiming how amazing God is. I think that's pretty cool. Now, some of you might say, well, what about science? What about the Big Bang? That's okay. I think when God created the world, it was a pretty big bang. The Bible doesn't say explicitly how God created the rocks and the earth, how it works. It just says that he did it. Science is the first to admit that they don't know what started the Big Bang. It just happened. They say, you know, we don't know exactly how this whole thing started, but we think this is the process of which the way that the earth was formed. And the Bible says that God started that. He was the one who designed it all. He was the one who brought it all into existence. You know, I'm very comfortable that both of these work together. There is no one or the other. You know, as we start to figure things out, like the Big Bang or atoms, things like this, I think this is just us figuring out how God made things. Even as we figure these things out scientifically, you know, we should say, wow, I mean, look how much energy was required to create this, or see how intricate this design is. Our reaction shouldn't be, oh, see, God must not exist. Our reaction should be, wow, look how amazing God is. See how magnificent this is. We, as humans, could never do this, but God did. He is slowly revealing to us how he did some of these things, and that should just make us praise him all the more. Can we create stars? No. Can we create planets? No. You know, there's something special about creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, when God created man and woman, you know, when he created the sun and the moon and the stars, what was the thing that he said most of the nights? Well, what did he say? You know, if the kids know, what did he say at the end of each day? He said it was good. God cares for his creation. He's not a God who created and then just left, right? This is perhaps one of the best arguments that I've heard, that there really is a God. If God had just left his creation on its own, I could probably understand why some who might think that there is no God. All right, there would be no ongoing evidence that he was real. But the fact is that we see God everywhere we look. We see God sustaining life. We see God being intimately involved with us on a daily basis. The psalmist says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God knit us together in our mother's womb. Every child is created and knitted together by God. He lays out every single moment of our lives before it has even happened. Right? Every day of our lives is recorded in his book. This is a God who is intimately involved in our lives. This is a God who created the world and continues to create and sustain life. It is a pure miracle that our cars don't just crash all into each other. You know, they do sometimes, but that all happens. It's amazing that rain continues to fall when it's needed. All these things, the way they weave together, this is a God sustaining everything. Again, even as we start to figure out how things like ecosystems work, you know, how trees grow and how the rain falls and how that all works, even as we learn how to drive cars and, you know, and figure that out so we don't all crash, make sure that we can be safe, this is God. Just because we have figured out how to do these things or how these things work, that doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. It means that he is just infinitely more complex than we are. The Bible talks about God creating us in his image. This doesn't mean that we're mini gods, but it does mean that he has made us to be able to understand him. Not everything about him, but to be able to understand him. So when things are revealed to us, whether it be something like the Big Bang or these ecosystems, how trees work and rain, things like that, childbirth, this is God revealing to his children how he did things. We are creative beings as well. God created us to be creative beings. There are some things that only God can do. God is the only one that can create something out of nothing. But he has taught us how to create things. Think of all the amazing food and coffee and technological marvels that we create just among some things. Think about this for a second. When you taste good food, when you taste really good food and you think, man, this is just some of the best food I've ever created. Like, I don't even know how to make this, but it's amazing. When you find out how it's made, right, when you go, it's just because, you know, he you know, sautés youngins first and it gives us this wonderful flavor, is your reaction to say, ah, so the chef must not exist? Like, how ridiculous does that sound? Or is your reaction, wow, what an amazing chef? When you play with your new phone and you go, oh, look at all this, the cool features and all this sort of stuff. I have no idea how it works, that they fit all this cool stuff in this tiny little phone. I can tell you as an engineer, I know how everything works in this. Is my reaction to say, ah, so those nerds over at Apple, they just don't exist now that I know how it works? No, again, I just go, man, they're some pretty smart engineers. They know what they're doing, right? So do you see how ridiculous it is that as we start to figure out how things are working, that our conclusion would be, ah, so the chef doesn't exist. The engineer doesn't exist. We've figured out how God started to create some things, or we've figured out how some of this stuff works with trees and stuff. Ah, God doesn't exist. No, our reaction should be, wow, that's an amazing chef. That's an amazing engineer. Wow, that is an amazing God that created the world. Hopefully, I think you get my point there. So God created you. He created this world around us, and he created you. He loves you. He loves and cares for his creation. Now, God gave us this really cool gift called free will. He gave us the ability to choose what we want to do. Unfortunately, we chose to disobey God. Back in the story of Adam and Eve, we see that Eve took the apple when God told her not to. God gave Adam and Eve the ability to choose, and they chose to disobey. God really, really wanted to have a relationship with his creation, though, so he devised a way that we could know God again. Because he is a holy God, and we're going to look at more of that and what that means in the next coming week, so park your questions on, oh, what does that mean, all right? That'll get answered in the next couple of weeks. Because he was a holy God, he required our disobedience to be dealt with. He required there to be a payment for our disobedience. Our disobedience ran so deep, though, that there was no way that we could repay it. But you know what? He, again, an amazing God, he worked out a way. He worked out a way where he sent his son Jesus to pay for our disobedience. Again, wow, that is amazing. Knowing God means knowing that he is your creator. It means knowing that he created everything around you and he created you. It means knowing that he loves you and that he cares for you. It means knowing and understanding that we have disobeyed him. And he does, but you know, he wanted us to know him so bad that he sent his son Jesus to allow us to be able to know him again. He sent his son Jesus to pay this penalty of death so that our disobedience could be dealt with. This is an amazing God. Look at the efforts that he has gone to so that you can know God. So if you don't know God tonight, I really want to encourage you to think about all the things that God has done for you. Think about how he created you, how he continues to sustain your life. Think about how, despite you ignoring him, he provided a way that you could have a relationship with him. This is a God that you certainly want to get to know. And if you aren't sure yet, or you don't feel that you know enough about this God yet, that's okay too. Stick around over the next couple of weeks and you'll get to learn a bit more about this God of the Bible, and we'll have this sort of conversation again in a couple of weeks' time.